Amen. Well, thank you for being here this morning. Of course, I want to thank Pastor Shelley and for his friendship and for all he's done for our church, for me. And I just thank him. And I've had a great time so far. We had a great time of fellowship last night. So I want to thank Brother Dylan and Brother Ben for their friendship and for taking care of me. So thank you all for being here this morning. So there in Nehemiah 4, but go if you would to Nehemiah chapter 1. Nehemiah 1. Can you replace it in Nehemiah 4? But go to Nehemiah chapter 1. And in Nehemiah 1, we see that Nehemiah, he hears about the captivity, or he's in captivity, and he hears of the state of his people in Jerusalem. Nehemiah 1, look at verse number 1. The Bible says, the words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah. It says, it came to pass in the month Kislew, in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan, the palace, that Hanani, one of my brethren, came, he and certain men of Judah, and I asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, which were left of the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. Verse 3, and they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province, notice, are in great affliction. So Nehemiah here, he hears the state of his people, and he hears what? He hears that his people are in great affliction. And affliction is something that causes pain or suffering. It says, notice, great affliction, notice, and reproach. It says, notice, and the wall of Jerusalem also, notice, is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. So Nehemiah, he hears the condition, the state of his people, he hears that it's not a good situation. That those walls that were once there protecting the city of Jerusalem, they're now broken down. The people are in affliction. The people are in great distress. And notice the response from Nehemiah, verse number 4. We see that Nehemiah responds with remorse. It says, and it came to pass, notice, when I heard these words, notice that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. So Nehemiah hears, look, the condition of my people is not what it should be. The walls are broken down. People are suffering. People are hurting. And Nehemiah, he responds with what? He responds with remorse. And so what does Nehemiah do? Nehemiah asks of the king if he could go back to Jerusalem. Go to Nehemiah 2, if you would. Nehemiah 2, look at verse number 5. Nehemiah 2, 5. The Bible says, and I said unto the king, notice, if it please the king, and if thy servant have found favor in thy sight, notice, that thou wouldest send me unto Judah, unto the city of my father's sepulchres, notice, that I may build it. See, Nehemiah, he hears, look, there's a problem. People are suffering. People are hurting. Things aren't the way they should be. The walls are broken down. And Nehemiah says, you know what? Let me go back and make things right. Let me go back and fix my city of Jerusalem. And Nehemiah, what does he do? He decides to pick up the pieces. He decides to go back and to rebuild that which has been broken down. Nehemiah 2, look at verse number 17. Here we have Nehemiah now in Jerusalem going to his people and saying, look, there's a problem. We need to get in there and fix it. Nehemiah 2:17 says, notice, then said I unto them, notice, ye see the distress that we are in. Notice how Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Notice, come, notice, and let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we be no more a reproach. So Nehemiah, he decides to do what? He decides to rebuild. He goes to his people and says, don't you see the condition that we're in? And he says, you know what, join me and let us build up the wall. Verse 18, notice, then I told them of the hand of my God, which is good upon me, as also the king's words that he had spoken unto me. Notice, and they said, notice, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands, notice, for this good work. So Nehemiah, he sees that the situation is in disarray. The walls are broken down. Things aren't the way they should be. And what does he do? He decides to rebuild. And in the Christian life, look, sometimes in the Christian life, it's going to feel like your life is tumbling down. Because look, life can be difficult. And sometimes in your life, like, you will feel like everything is just caving in, it's coming down. See, in life, look, sometimes in life, you will have a relationship in your life that maybe is not what it used to be. A relationship that maybe is broken down, that is in distress, that needs some help, that needs some fixing up. See, sometimes in life, look, things go bad. And in the Christian life, sometimes because of sin in your life, look, sometimes sin can destroy you as a Christian. And sometimes you get to a place where the walls are coming down. Your world feels like it's falling apart, and it feels like you just need to go back in there and rebuild as a Christian. See, sometimes, look, if you're a first-time Christian, this is something you might know, but if you're a first-generation Christian, and if you got saved later in life, look, when you got saved, it kind of felt like your whole life behind you was kind of like a waste. It felt like everything I've built, everything I've done has just come tumbling down. And it's this bittersweet feeling because you got saved, and you're going to heaven, and now you know what God wants from you, but you look back at your life and you realize, look, what I've done in my life is just torn down. And it feels like in life you need to just go back in there and rebuild. And look, sometimes in life, look, you need to rebuild a relationship. Sometimes in life, you need to rebuild your testimony if you fall into sin. Sometimes in life, you need to just rebuild your life. Look at the areas in your life that need to be rebuilt and get in there and rebuild. See, this morning, I'm preaching on how to rebuild as a Christian, how to rebuild as a Christian, because all of us will find ourselves in places where you just need to go back in there and rebuild. So how do you rebuild as a Christian? I have a couple points. Number one, you rebuild with honesty at heart. You rebuild with honesty at heart. Nehemiah 2, look at verse number 13. Nehemiah 2, 13. The Bible says, "And I went out by night by the gate of the valley, even before the dragon well, and to the dung port," notice, "and viewed the walls of Jerusalem." You see, how do you rebuild something that's been broken down in your life? Well, number one, you make assessment. You go in there, and you, with an honest heart, you assess the situation of your life. Here we have Nehemiah. What is he doing? He's just viewing the walls. He's just seeing the problem. He's seeing the rubble. He sees what needs to be fixed. He says, "I just viewed the walls," notice, "which were," notice, "broken down, and the gates thereof were consumed with fire." Look at verse number 17 again. "Then said I unto them," notice, "ye see the distress that we are in." The word distress means a state of danger or desperate need. See, when it comes to the broken areas of your life, whether it's a relationship, whether it's with some sin, whether it's just in your life in general, look, you got to take time to assess the reality of your life. And don't lie to yourself. See, here we have Nehemiah. He's not covering it up. He says, "Don't you see the distress that we are in?" See, sometimes when it comes to our relationship, maybe in your marriage. See, marriage, it requires a lot of work. But there may be times in a marriage when you need to rebuild in your marriage. When you get to a place when it feels like things have come down, and you got to just be honest with yourself, assess the situation, and ask yourself, is my marriage the way that it should be right now? Or whether it's with some sin, look, sin can tear you down. And realize sometimes when we're the ones involved in sin, we downplay, we minimize the sin. But you got to be honest with yourself and ask yourself, is this right? Is this the way it's supposed to be? Assess the situation. And here we have Nehemiah, not sugarcoating. He says, "Don't you see the distress that we're in? How Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire." And he says, "Come, let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we be no more a reproach." The word reproach means the expression of disapproval or disappointment. See, how do you rebuild that which is broken down? Well, number one, you assess the situation. Be honest with yourself and ask yourself, is this the way it should be? Is this relationship the way it should be right now? Is my Christian walk with the Lord, is it the way it should be right now? Assess your life. Keep your place there in Nehemiah. Go to Psalm 4 if you would. Psalm chapter number 4. See, sometimes in life, it's going to feel like the world comes down. And you just got to assess your life. Ask yourself, is this how it should be? Psalm 4, look at verse number 3. Psalm 4, 3, the Bible says, "But know that the Lord has set apart him that is godly for himself." Notice, "the Lord will hear when I call unto him." Notice what it says in verse 4. It says, "Stand in awe and sin not." It says, "Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still." See, the Bible says you got to commune with your own heart. What does that mean? That means that every once in a while, you got to have a heart-to-heart with yourself. And ask yourself, when it comes to your life, you know, how is your walk with the Lord? How is your relationship in your marriage? Is it how it should be? You know, how is the sin in your life that you're dealing with? You know, assess the situation. And God says, you got to just be still and be honest with yourself and assess the situation. And ask yourself, is this what God wants? Is this how God wants me to be as a Christian? Is this how God wants me to be as a spouse, as a husband, as a wife, as a child, as a worker, as a church member? Is this how God wants me to be in life? See, every once in a while, you just got to ask yourself and be honest with yourself. And look, we're real good at assessing other people's situations. We're real good at noticing the problems in other people. But every once in a while, you got to ask yourself, you know, what are the areas in my life that I need to work on? Because look, all of us, we're going to come to a place in our life where things feel like they're coming down and falling apart. And you just got to ask yourself, commune with your own heart, be still and say, you know what? What do I need to do in my life? Like, I don't know about you, but when I first got saved, I felt like the world, my past life just completely came down. And you get this feeling that you feel like, man, all I've done in my life feels like it was pointless. There was no value into it, which is true. There was no value to it. But you just got to be honest with yourself and realize, look, is that what God wants for me? To continue that old life? See, sometimes, even though it looks like it's in disarray, you got to just rebuild and ask yourself, assess your own situation. Like, is this how things ought to be? Go to Hebrews 4, if you would, Hebrews 4. You see, how do you rebuild? You rebuild with honesty at heart. Meaning what? Meaning you assess the situation. And look, and don't lie to yourself. You got not to lie to yourself, because look, when we criticize other people for their failures and their faults and their struggles, what we're doing is we're trying to make ourselves feel better for our faults and our failures. But look, you got to just be honest with yourself, because look, the truth is that God knows where you are, and God knows how it should be in your life. And so just be honest. And look, you can't hide things from the Lord. Hebrews 4, look at verse number 13. The Bible says, notice, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight. Notice, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. See, the Bible says that all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him. See, look, you can't lie to the Lord when it comes to your situation. And we have Nehemiah here. Nehemiah realized, look, there's a problem. Things aren't the way they should be in my life. I'm going to go back in there and fix it. And he says, look, it's in disarray. It's in distress. He's pleading with the people. Don't you see the problem with that we're in? And look, sometimes you just want to shake people. It's like, don't you see the problem with your parenting? Don't you see the problem in your relationships with your finances? You want to shake them up and say, look, don't you see the situation? And God says, look, just be honest with yourself and say, look, is this how God wants it to be? Because God, look, God knows. The Bible says that there's nothing hidden from the Lord. All things are open and manifest unto him with the eyes of him with who we have to do. Look, be honest with yourself. Assess your situation. Back to Nehemiah 2, if you will, Nehemiah chapter number 2. You say, how do you rebuild? You rebuild with honesty at heart. You got to be honest with yourself and ask yourself, look, where do I need to rebuild in my life? Is there some sin in my life that I need to get right? Is there a relationship in my life that there was once strong, it was once fortified, but now the walls have come down? Look, what are the areas in your life that you need to rebuild? But not only should you assess the situation, but you should also take personal responsibility. You got to take personal responsibility for the areas in your life that you feel like have come down. Notice what happens in Nehemiah. Nehemiah 2, look at verse number 5. Notice, and I said unto the king, notice, if it please the king, and if thy servant have found favor in thy sight, notice, that thou wouldest send me unto Judah. Notice, unto the city of my father's sepulchers, notice, that I may build it. You see, Nehemiah, what does he do? He hears that there's a problem. He hears the distress. He hears that the people are suffering. And what does Nehemiah do? Nehemiah says, you know what? Send me. Nehemiah says, you know what? I'm going to put this on myself. I'm going to take responsibility for this. I want you to send me so I can be the one to go out there and fix it. He says that thou wouldest send me, that's Judah, notice, that I may build it. See, when it comes to the areas in your life, like, you got to just take personal responsibility for the areas in your life that you need to rebuild. Look, when I got saved, I could have, this is what people do. They get saved and they look at their past life and they want to blame everyone else. And look, it's easy to do. You could blame your parents for the life that you lived before you got saved. You could blame your environment. You could blame the situation. But at the end of the day, look, you must learn to take personal responsibility for your life. Yeah. Look, and when it comes to sin that has brought down the walls in your life, that has made things crumble, feel like they're coming down, look, when it comes to sin, don't be like Saul that says, look, the people made me do it. Look, you got to just take personal responsibility. We have Nehemiah says, you know what, send me. There's a problem, I'm going to go in there, and I'm going to fix the situation. And look, don't wait for people to fix your problems. Go to Nehemiah 1, if you will, Nehemiah chapter 1. Nehemiah 1, look at verse number 6. Nehemiah 1, 6, the Bible says, let thine ear now be attentive, and thine eyes open, that thou mayest hear the prayer of thy servant, which I pray before thee now, day and night, for the children of Israel, thy servants, and confess the sins of the children of Israel. Notice what Nehemiah says. Notice, he says, which we have sinned. Here have Nehemiah praying to the Lord. And he says, God, look, guys, his head, we've sinned. It says, which we have sinned against. He says, I and my fathers have sinned. You see, Nehemiah, when he goes to God in prayer, when he hears of the problem, the distress, you know what Nehemiah doesn't do? Nehemiah doesn't say, hey, God, look what they did. Yeah. Nehemiah, because look, I believe Nehemiah was a godly man. He was a man of God. Look, I don't believe Nehemiah was specifically at fault for what happened with the children of Israel. But you know what Nehemiah does when he goes to pray? He says, God, you know what? I'm going to confess my sins. God, Lord, I have failed. Look, I'm going to confess for myself and for them. And what does Nehemiah do? He doesn't blame other people for the problems. And look, when it comes to things that have been broken down in your life, look, don't be the person who plays the blame game. who wants to give everyone else the blame for why the situation has gone bad. At least this is what we do. We get into arguments with people, we fight with people, our relationship goes sour, and of course, you're the victim and they're at fault. Which, look, which humanly speaking, that may be true, but is that what Nehemiah does? Does Nehemiah say, God, look what, this is what they did? No, Nehemiah says, look, we've sinned. He's confessing the sins that both I and my father. See, Nehemiah is taking responsibility for what has happened in life. And so in your life, look, when it comes to the problems that you need to fix, that you need to rebuild in your life, don't be the person who blames everyone else. Don't blame someone else when it comes to the sin in your life. This is what some people do. People get involved with alcohol, and they blame their situation. I'm just so stressed out. I need to drink. I'm just so stressed out with life. I'm just so busy. I just need to drink. Like, you're just blaming everyone else for the sin of alcohol. You shouldn't be doing that. Take responsibility for your life. When it comes to a marriage, when things aren't right, what do spouses do? They want to blame everyone else. It's everyone else's fault for why this is wrong. It's her fault or it's his fault. But look, at the end of the day, you must take responsibility for yourself. And realize, look, you're not perfect. There's areas that you need to work on that you have failed in. And we have Nehemiah, who I believe was a godly man, who I believe he didn't do anything specifically in the eyes of God, but Nehemiah knew, you know what? Hey, look, I've done things wrong. I'm going to confess my sins, and I'm going to take responsibility for that which I have done. One thing at Verity is that what Pastor Jimenez does for myself and for the men in the church is he's really big on teaching us about leadership and helping us to become leaders and to be leaders. Amen. And one thing that Pastor Jimenez always tells us about leaders is that leaders, when they see a problem, they go to the problem. They fix the problem. See, a leader doesn't run away when they see that things are going wrong. A leader, what they do is they run to fix the problem. And that's what we see in Nehemiah. Nehemiah says, look, there's a problem here, and I'm going to go there, and I'm going to fix it myself. So when it comes to the errors in your life, look, whether it's your parenting, look, don't blame other people for the problems with your parenting. Look, if there's a problem with your parenting, then you be the one, mom, dad, you be the one that says, you know what, I'm going to fix this. I'm going to be accountable. I'm going to be responsible for raising my kids, and I'm going to get it right. And we could blame everyone else, but look, at the end of the day, look, this is our responsibility. So don't play the blame game. Go to Romans 14, Romans chapter 14. You see, how do you rebuild as a Christian? Well, you rebuild with honesty at heart. You got to be honest with your situation. Is it the way it should be? You got to also take personal responsibility. Romans 14, look at verse number 11. The Bible says, for it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. Notice what it says in verse 12. It says, so then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. See, the Bible says that every one of us, look, will give account of ourselves to God. And the truth is, when it comes to the areas in your life, look, I'm not going to give account for anyone else besides but for myself. Look, as a Christian, I can't blame my fellow church members for why I was a lousy Christian. Look, I'm going to give account for myself to God. As a spouse, I can't blame my spouse for when I'm a lousy Christian or a lousy spouse. Look, I'm going to give account to myself. Look, I'm not going to blame my fellow coworkers or my boss because I was such a lousy employee. Look, at the end of the day, look, you're going to give account for yourself. At the end of the day, when it comes to the areas in your life that you need to rebuild, realize, look, you got to just take responsibility and be the one that says, I'm going to fix the situation. Look, if there's a relationship that's been broken down, that's not what it used to be. If you're arguing and fighting with people, why don't you be the one that says, you know, I'm going to take it upon myself to make this right. I'm going to be the one, I'm going to be a bigger person that says, you know what, I'm going to choose to fix it. I'm going to choose to build it up. Why? Because look, at the end of the day, every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Go to 1 Corinthians 6, if you go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. Look, sometimes in life, look, We deal with people all the time. And look, sometimes in life, look, there will be conflict with people. And sometimes in life, look, relationships can be strong, can be fortified. But look, sometimes relationships can also, they can come down. Things happen. But when those situations happen, look, you ought to be the one to be the bigger person, be the spiritual person, and try to make it right. Try to fix it. 1 Corinthians 6, look at verse number 7. Here we have a passage on Christians suing each other. But notice what it says in verse 7. It says, now therefore, there is utterly a fault among you because you go to law one with another. And notice what he says. He says, why do you not rather take wrong? Why do you not rather suffer yourselves to be defrauded? See, when it comes to conflicts with relationships with people, even if you feel like they're wrong and you're right, you got to be the bigger person and step in there and try to make it right, try to build it up. And if they're unwilling to make it right, like the Bible says, why don't you just suffer yourself to be defrauded? Allow them to, just don't be the one to be at fault. Because like, even if you're right, if you keep arguing and fighting and making it worse, look, you're going to be wrong. Even if you're right, you could still be wrong. So when it comes to the conflicts in life, in relationships with people, like, allow yourself to be defrauded. If they don't want to make it right, look, that's on them. They'll give account for them. But you be the bigger person. And go in there and try to make it right and try to build it up, bring it back up. And if they don't want to get it right, look, that's okay. Allow yourself. Don't get angry. Don't get mad. Allow yourself to be defrauded. Allow yourself to take wrong. And be the one who says, decides, look, I'm gonna build this. I'm gonna make this right. I'm gonna build it up. You say, why? Because look, when you want to rebuild in your life, you gotta just go in there with an honest heart. Assess the situation and take responsibility for the things that need to be built up in your life. Go to Nehemiah 2 again, if you go to Nehemiah chapter 2. So we see Nehemiah hearing the distress, hearing that the walls are broken down. Things aren't the way they should be. What does he do? He decides to rebuild. You say, how do you rebuild? You rebuild with honesty and heart. But number two, you rebuild with others in mind. You rebuild with others in mind. Nehemiah 2, look at verse number 17. Notice what it says. It says, then said I unto them, you see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Notice, come, notice what Nehemiah says. He says, let us build up the wall of Jerusalem. There would be no more reproach. You see, Nehemiah, he realized, look, I need some help in my life. He says, let us build. And look, and the way that you rebuild in the Christian life, the way that you build the Christian life is with other people. Look, you build with others in mind. God did not make you, create you, for you to live life on your own. The way you rebuild, look, if you just got saved and you realize, look, my whole past life is in ruin. It meant nothing. It feels like the world's come down. Look, God wants you to rebuild, but how is it done? It's done with other people. Nehemiah said, look, let us build. Right. You say, how do you rebuild? You rebuild with others in mind. Verse 18, then I told them of the hand of my God, which is good upon me, as also the king's words that he had spoken unto me. Notice, and they said, notice, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work. Realize, look, that God has given you a church to help you strengthen your life, to help you build up your life. Why? Because, look, the way you build as a Christian is with other people. Look, the Christian life is a team sport. And there's no such thing as a self-made man. Look, if somebody succeeded in their business, in their home, in their walk with the Lord, realize, like, there's people behind that who've invested into them. And why? Because, like, you don't make yourself as a Christian. You need other people to help build you in your life. Nehemiah 4, go to Nehemiah chapter 4 if you would. Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 6. See, how do we build? You build with others in mind. What does that mean? That means we build with people. We build with others. Nehemiah 4, look at verse number 6. It says, so built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together into the half thereof. Notice, for the people had a mind to work. You see, the Bible said that the people, they had a mind to work. This is a good thing. Look, the people, they were what? They were ambitious. They had a mind. They wanted to get it done. And look, and it's good in life that when you see an area that needs to be fixed, it's good to have ambitions in life. If your life isn't the way it should be, you ought to have some ambition in life to fix it, a drive. See, the people, it says that they had a mind to work. They were motivated. They wanted to build. They wanted to work. They had ambition. And look, ambition is a good thing. And look, an ambition is a good place to start. But the truth about ambition is that everyone has ambition. Because if you ask everyone, look, do you want to live for the Lord? Everyone's going to say yes. Do you want to have a great marriage? They're going to say yes. Do you want to get the sin right in your life? Look, everyone's going to say yes. Everyone has ambition. Ambition is a good place to start. But look, ambition is a bad place to stay. You don't want to just stay there and just having the desire to build, having the desire to get right. You got to take a step into it. Look, ambition is a good place to start, but it's a bad place to stay. Why? Because, look, ambition will only take you so far. Nehemiah 4, look at verse number 7. Notice what happens. It says, but it came to pass that when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabians and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were made up and that the breaches began to be stopped, then they were very wroth and conspired all of them together to come and to fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it. Nevertheless, we made our prayer to God and set a watch against them day and night because of them. And Judah said, the strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed, and there is much rubbish, so that we are not able to build the wall. I want you to notice the people, they go in with a mind to work, with a mind to build. They were ambitious people, but look, ambition will only take you so far. Here you have the people getting to the place where they say, notice in verse 10, it says, the strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed. Notice, and there is much rubbish, so that we are not able to build the wall. See, there was a point when these people, they saw the problem, they saw the distress, they saw the rubble, they saw the rubbish, and they said, you know what, we can do this. They said, you know what, we can rebuild this. But it gets to the place in their life when they get tired. And they say, you know what, look at the rubbish. Look at the problem. It can't be done. And the truth is that ambition is a good thing. But look, it's not enough. Look, you need help. Ambition is a good place to start. But look, it will only take you so far. Why? Because everyone wants to do right. Everyone wants to clean up their life. Everyone wants to fix their problems. But the truth is that you need help. The truth is that you need other people. The truth is that you need people along you to help you. Why? Because look, ambition will only take you so far. Nehemiah 4, look what Nehemiah does. Nehemiah 4:13. Notice it says, therefore said I. Here we have Nehemiah the leader providing direction. Notice, therefore set I in the lower places behind the wall, and on the higher places, I even set the people after their families, notice, with their swords, their spears, and their bows. See, that the people, they grow weary. The people get to the place where they say, I can't do it. And look, a lot of people get here. A lot of people get to the place where they say, you know, I'm going to start building for the Lord. I'm going to work on my sin. I'm going to work on my marriage. I'm going to work on my parenting. They start to rebuild in life, but then they stop, and they say it's too hard. They say it's too much rubbish. They can't do it anymore. And what does Nehemiah do? Nehemiah provides direction. Nehemiah provides leadership. See, if you want to rebuild, if you want to build as a Christian, you know what you need in your life? You need a Nehemiah in your life. Amen. You need someone who, to provide with you direction and leadership. Because what does Nehemiah do? Notice, therefore set I in the lower places. Nehemiah is arranging the people, organizing them. It goes on, it says, I even set the people after their families, notice, with their swords, their spears, and their bows. See, Nehemiah, what does he do? He equips the people. He gives them the weapons they need to succeed. And look, and if you want to rebuild as a Christian, look, you need direction. You need leadership. You need a Nehemiah in your life to direct you, to equip you. You say, why? Because the truth is, look, all the problems that we've done in our lives, look, we're the ones that got ourselves into it. And look, and we need help. And it's okay to need help. It's okay to need someone to direct you, to guide you, to help you, to lead you. And look, this is how you build in the Christian life. You build with others around you, with people helping you and directing you. Go to Ephesians 4 if you would, Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4. You see, how do you rebuild? You rebuild with others in mind. What does that mean? That means you build with other people. And the people, look, they had ambition. They wanted to build. They began to build, but they got tired. And they saw the rubble, and they say, you know what, it's too much, and we can't do it. But Nehemiah, what does he do? He provides direction. He provides leadership. He equips the people. He helps them. He gives them what they need to continue on. Ephesians 4, look at verse number 11. Notice what it says. It says, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Notice what it says. It says, for the perfecting of the saints for the work of the ministry. You know, as a Christian, you will never be, you'll never be the best anything as a Christian without a pastor in your life, without a leader in your life, helping you, directing you, equipping you. You'll never be a complete spouse, a complete Christian. You'll never have victory over sin. You'll never be what God wants you to be as a Christian without a Nehemiah directing you and helping you and leading you. And look, so if you feel like your life has come down, if you feel like these are falling apart in your life, you say, what do I need? Look, you need some direction. You need some leadership. If you have ambition, praise the Lord. But you know what? You need help. You need others by your side. Here the Bible says that he gave us what? He gave us pastors and teachers. Why? Notice, for the perfecting of the saints, to make you complete, for the work of the ministry. Notice, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Notice what it says. It says, till we. Notice the team effort. It says, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, notice, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. See, the only way you'll be a complete Christian, the only way you'll rebuild in your life is by having a Nehemiah with you to help direct you and to guide you. Look, you'll never succeed as a Christian without church, without a pastor. See, God has given you your pastor to help build you, to help strengthen you, to help equip you, and realize, like, that's what he's there for. And so you'll be wise as a Christian to be the person who says, you know what, when it comes to church, I'm going to show up to church and hear the preaching of the Word of God. Why? Because I need to build my life. Amen. You got to be the Christian who says, you know what, I'm not just going to show up for the potluck and for the food. No, I'm going to show up to all the services because that is more valuable. Amen. And look, realize, look, food is great. And we love food, right? This is Texas. We love the barbecue, right? But look, realize, look, more important than the food is your walk with the Lord. Amen. More important than the food is your marriage, is your parenting, Amen. Is the relationships in your life, is your life. Look, you say, well, how does God want me to do it? God gave you a pastor. God gave you a church. God has given you someone to equip you, to help you, and you're not going to build anything in life without a man of God in your life, without a Nehemiah. So you got to be grateful for a pastor who preaches the Word of God, who gives you the truth, but be the Christian who realizes, look, I need this. The only way I'm going to build, the only way I'm going to succeed is with somebody behind me, helping me, encouraging me, pushing me, giving me the truth. Why? Because you need leadership. You need direction. You need somebody in your life to equip you. And so if you feel like the world has come down, if you feel like things are falling apart, you just can't do it, that's when you need church the most. That's when you need to be in the house of God the most. That's when you need a man of God, a leader to direct you, to help you the most. And look, it's okay to need help. Look, all of us need help. And look, it's hard sometimes for us to go to people and say, hey, I need help. Things aren't the way they should be. I have this sin in my life. I'm struggling with this sin. Can you help me? Look, that's what they're there for. You see, how do you rebuild as a Christian? You rebuild with having direction and leadership in your life. Go to Hebrews 13, Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews 13. The Bible says he gave you pastors to perfect you, to complete you, to make you a perfect man. Hebrews 13, look at verse number 7. Hebrews 13, 7 says, remember them which have the rule over you, notice, who have spoken unto you, notice, the word of God. Notice what it says. It says, whose faith follow, considering the end of the conversation. See, the Bible says you got to remember them which have the rule over you. Who is that? I believe it's referring to the pastor. It says, who have spoken unto you, notice, the word of God. It says, notice, whose faith follow. See, the way you rebuild as a Christian is you get behind a man of God. You get behind a Nehemiah. And you follow them. You get behind them and allow them to direct you. Allow them to lead you. Allow them to help you. And we see the people in the story, like the people, they had a mind to work. They wanted to get right. Look, everyone wants to get right. Everyone wants to rebuild. Everyone wants to live the abundant Christian life. But look, they got to the place where they got tired and they just couldn't do it. So what do? We have Nehemiah stepping in. He says, let me direct you in life. Let me lead you. Let me equip you. And the people go on to build. You see, look, in your life, what you need is leadership. What you need is someone to help you, to direct you, to build you as a Christian. Go back to Nehemiah 2, if you want, Nehemiah 2. You see, how do you rebuild as a Christian? You rebuild with others in mind. Meaning what? Meaning you rebuild with people. You rebuild with others. But not only do you build with others, you build for others. You know, you got to build your life for other people. You got to choose to walk with the Lord to rebuild your life. Look, if you got saved and you feel like your life has fallen apart behind you because you realize all you've done is just kind of meaningless, which is how I felt when I got saved, you got to just choose to build a new life, not just for yourself, but for other people. Amen. If there's some sin that's tearing you down in your life, you got to choose to get that sin right in your life, not just for yourself, but for other people. See, you build not only with others, but you build for others too. I want you to notice the character of Nehemiah. Nehemiah 2, look at the kind of man that Nehemiah was. Nehemiah 2:10, notice, when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the servant the Ammonite heard of it, it grieved them exceedingly that there was come, notice, a man to seek, notice, the welfare of the children of Israel. See, Nehemiah was the kind of man who was looking for the welfare of who? Of other people. The word welfare means the health, the happiness, and fortunes of a person or group, the well-being of others. See, Nehemiah realized, look, I'm going to build this, but it's not just going to be for me. I'm here seeking the welfare of other people. And look, in your life, you got to just build for the people around you. You got to be the person who lives their lives for other people. who seeks the welfare of other people. See, we build for the sake of others. Nehemiah 4, look at verse number 14. Nehemiah 4:14. Here we have Nehemiah giving the people a reason to build. Nehemiah 4:14, it says, "And I looked and rose up and said unto the nobles and to the rulers and to the rest of the people," he said, "be not ye afraid of them. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible." Notice, "and fight for your brethren, your sons and your daughters, your wives and your houses." You see, why should you build? You should build for other people. Here of Nehemiah telling the people, look, you got to build. But he doesn't say, hey, just build for yourself. No, he says, you got to fight for who? For your brethren, for your sons and your daughters, your wives and your houses. See, there's a reason to build in life. And look, if you got saved and you feel like your world behind you is falling apart, then realize, look, you got to build a new Christian life for other people. You got to think about your brethren. You got to think about your sons. Look, I'm not living my Christian life just for myself. Look, I have children to take care of. Amen. And I hope to show them, to mentor them, to guide them, to help them. See, I'm not fighting this fight just for myself. No, I have a family. And I'm doing it for them. And look, and if you're a single person, look, you got to build your life because one day you might get married. One day you might have children. You got to build a life for the sake of for their sake, for other people. Like, when it comes to sin, look, sin is some of the most selfish things that we can do. When we get involved in sin, when we allow ourselves to get involved with sin like alcohol or pornography or drugs or whatever it may be, or laziness or not providing for your family, when you get involved in sin, look, you got to rebuild your life and get that sin right in your life. Amen. You say, why? For other people. Why? Because, look, when you get involved with a sin like alcohol, for example, look, you're destroying not just your own life, you're destroying those around you. You're destroying your kids. You're destroying your spouse. You're destroying your marriage, your testimony, your work life, everything about you. Look, realize, look, when you rebuild for the sake of other people. And Nehemiah says, look, let me give you some reasons to build. You got to fight for your brethren. You got to fight for your sons, for your daughters, for your houses. Look, fight for other people in your life. And look, you got to fight for this church. When it comes to rebuild, look, realize, look, that there's a man of God up here, your pastor, who works hard, who preaches the word of God, who's leading a church, who's leading soul winning, who's making an impact in the world. Look, you got to fight with him. Amen. Fight for him. Yeah. You have other church members around you who are here to help you, to strengthen you. Look, you got to fight for them. Look, fight for other people. Amen. And just realize, look, that your life isn't all about you. And look, and if you find yourself with a broken relationship, maybe a friendship or a family relationship gone sour, look, it may be that they're hurting, which is why they're lashing out, which is why you're in conflict. You got to try to rebuild that for them, to try to be there for them. Look, just do things for other people. And Nehemiah here, he says, look, let me give you a reason to rebuild. You got to fight for your brethren, for your sons, for your daughters, your wives, and your houses. Go to Philippians 2, if you would, Philippians chapter 2. You see, why do we rebuild? You rebuild for others. You see, why would I want to be the Christian? Because look, there's a lot of people who just come to church a couple times, you know, Christmas and Easter. And they ask themselves, you know, why would I want to come to church 3 times a week? Why would I want to be the person who gets sold out and just goes soul winning and lives for God when it's so difficult? Well, it's because, look, you got to do it for the sake of other people. Look, you got to do it not just for yourself and quit being selfish and realize, look, there are people around you who are watching you who need you to succeed, who needs you to fight for them, who needs you to build up. Philippians 2, look, verse number 3. The Bible says, let nothing be done through strife, in verse 3, or vainglory. Notice, but in lowliness of mind, notice, let each esteem other better than themselves. So, look, you ought to esteem those around you better than you. To esteem them higher than you. When you live your life, look, you ought to live a life where you put others before you. Where you rebuild for the sake of other people. You say, why should I get the sin right in my life? Look, you ought to do it for those around you and not be selfish. Why should I try to build a Christian life when my whole life, this is just who I am, this is just how I live, this is just what I do? You gotta try to rebuild a life for the sake of those around you. It says here in verse number 4, it says, look not every man, notice, on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. See, we're not to be focused on just ourselves. It says, look not every man on his own things, notice, but also on the things of others. You gotta be concerned for the welfare of other people, for the sake of other people. And be the Christian who lives their life, not just for yourself, but for other people. And look, when you get tired, and when you see the rubbish in your life, the rubble, and you think, I just can't do it, then you got to just do it for other people and just fight for them and be there for them and realize, look, it's not all about you. We got to esteem others better than ourselves. Go to 2 Corinthians 12. If you go to 2 Corinthians 12. You see, how do you build? You build for other people. 2 Corinthians 12. Notice the kind of man the Apostle Paul was. Verse 15, 2 Corinthians 12, 15. Notice, he says, and I will very gladly spend, notice, and be spent for you. Though the more abundantly I love you, notice, the less I be loved. See, the Apostle Paul, he said, look, I will very gladly spend, notice, and be spent for you. See, the Apostle Paul was willing to lose in life so that others can win. See, Paul said, look, I'm willing to spend and to be spent for you. And he says, though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. Look, it's not convenient for Paul to spend and be spent all the while people are turning on him, all the while people are loving him less. But we see the Apostle Paul was the kind of man who was willing to lose in life so that others can win. And this ought to be your goal. You ought to be the person who chooses to lose, to suffer, so that others can win. Amen. Like when it comes to like a church, for example, look, being a pastor, I'm not a pastor, but like being a pastor requires a big cost. And I'm sure your pastor will very gladly spend and be spent for you. And he's willing to live a life where he's willing to spend of himself so that you can win. Like that's a great example right there. Look, our pastor in Sacramento, Pastor Jimenez, there's so much he does that people don't even know. But you know what? He's willing to spend and be spent for the church people. Amen. And you know what? It comes at a great cost. But you know what? He's living his life for other people. He's willing to sacrifice so that other people can win. And look, this ought to be you in the Christian life. You as a spouse, you ought to be willing to just obey the word of God and be the spouse that God wants you to be, even though it might cost you something, even though you may not like it. Why? To help other people, to help your spouse. You got to be the parent who's willing to suffer to do what's right for your own children. When it comes to sin, be willing to pay the price, pay the cost. Why? For the benefit of other people. See, we live a life not just with others, but we build for others. And we see Nehemiah doing what? He's seeking the welfare, not of himself, but of other people. And look, this ought to be you. You ought to seek the welfare of those around you and live a life for others. Go back to Nehemiah 4, Nehemiah chapter 4. Nehemiah 4. You see, how do you build? You build with others in mind. Meaning what? Meaning you build with others. Meaning you build for others. But look, if you can't build for other people, you got to build for the Lord. Notice what Nehemiah says in verse number 14 again. Nehemiah 4:14. Notice, and I looked up, and I looked and rose up and said unto the nobles and to the rulers and to the rest of the people, be not ye afraid of them. Notice what he says. He says, remember the Lord. He says, let me give you some reasons to rebuild. Yeah, you ought to build for your brethren. You ought to build for your sons, your daughters, your houses. You got to build for those around you. But before he says that, he says, notice, remember the Lord. And look, if there's ever anyone you should build for the Lord. You should try to build a life remembering what? Remembering the Lord. Go to Galatians 2, Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2. See, when you build for the sake of other people. And sometimes you just got to remember the Lord, what the Lord has done for you. Galatians 2, look at verse number 20. Galatians 2, 20. Notice what Apostle Paul says. He says, I am crucified with Christ. He says, nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Notice, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, notice, who loved me, notice, and gave himself for me. You see, Paul, how were you a man who was able to spend and be spent for other people? Well, the Apostle Paul was a man who would say, look, I remember the Lord. He says, the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. See, look, you will be willing to give yourself for other people, to sacrifice for other people when you remember the Lord and what the Lord has done for you. And the Apostle Paul says, I remember that the Lord, he loved me. You know, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Look, Jesus Christ was willing to die to save you from hell. And if you just think about that, the beating, shedding, his body being broken, his blood being shed, him dying for you, going to hell and raising again, doing all that to love you. If you would just remember the Lord, look, you'll be willing to live for other people. It says, the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So look, when you remember the Lord, you realize, look, if he gave it all for you, then you should be willing to give it all for other people. You see, how do you rebuild? Why would I want to do it? You got to do it for other people, for those around you. You got to do it with others. You got to do it for the Lord. And realize, look, you don't live in a bubble, and you can affect other people. And how is it done? It's done through other people. It's done with other people. It's done through you remembering the Lord. Go back to Nehemiah 4, if you would, Nehemiah chapter 4. You see, how do you rebuild in the Christian life? You rebuild with honesty at heart. You assess the situation. You take personal responsibility for your role. You rebuild with others in mind, meaning you rebuild with others. You build for others. You build for the Lord. You see, how do you rebuild? Not only should you rebuild with honesty at heart, with others in mind, but you should rebuild with weapon in hand. You rebuild with weapon in hand. Nehemiah 4, like verse number 15, the Bible says, and it came to pass, when our enemies heard that it was known unto us, and God had brought their counsel to naught, that we returned all of us to the wall, every one unto his work. And it came to pass from that time forth that the half of my servants wrought in the work, and the other half of them held both the spears, the shields, and the bows, and the harbingers, and the rulers were behind all the house of Judah. They which builded on the wall, and they that bear burdens, notice, with those that laid it, notice, every one with one of his hands wrought in the work, and with the other hand held a weapon. You see, how do you build in the Christian life? You build with weapon in hand. You build with tool in hand, and you build with weapon in hand. And look, when you decide to rebuild a life, look, it's gonna require a fight. When you rebuild, realize you're asking to get into a fight. Like, you can't build anything without fighting for something. You say, why would I want to fight to live this brand new life as a Christian? Well, you should do it for other people. But how is it done? It's done through you fighting. It's going to be done with weapon in hand. Look, the Christian life is a life of building and fighting. And look, sometimes people get upset at churches like ours because we're constantly fighting in the Christian life. But look, that's what the Christian life is. If you read the Bible, that's all we're doing. We're constantly fighting enemies without, enemies within. There's constantly a battle going on. And look, this is a normal thing. Don't get discouraged by the fight. It ought to encourage you. Amen. Meaning what? Meaning we're actually doing something right. Look, these other churches who never face a battle, look, it's because they're not building anything. Look, the reason there's fights in your life, it's because you're actually building something for the Lord. And look, this is completely normal. Be the Christian, it's normal to fight, and this is a good thing. Go to 1 Timothy 6, if you would. 1 Timothy 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6, look. You rebuild with weapon in hand. Why? Because, look, the Christian life is a life of building and fighting. Look, you can't build a great church without fighting the enemies of the Lord. You can't preach the word of God without fighting the world. Look, you can't defeat a sin in your life without fighting your flesh. Look, you just can't build anything without a fight. You can't restore a relationship without there being some conflict. It's going to hurt. It's going to be a fight. But just realize, look, the Christian life is a life of fighting, and that's okay. 1 Timothy 6, verse 11, the Bible says, but thou, man of God, flee these things, verse 11, and fall after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Notice it says, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. See, the Bible says you got to fight, notice, the good fight of faith. And often what people do is we get involved in a lot of things. We get involved in a lot of fights that really don't really concern us. They don't really help us as a Christian. So when it comes to the fights in your life, you got to narrow your fight. Look, if you're married, you got to fight for your spouse. If you're a parent, you got to fight to build those kids. If you're a church member, you got to fight to help this church. Look, if you're at work, you got to fight to help your boss. Look, just fight. Be a person who's willing to get in there and fight and realize, look, the fight's going to come and that's okay. But the Bible says, look, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. Look, you cannot build something without there being some opposition in life. And that's completely normal. Look, people will leave a church because they just can't handle all the fighting. But look, this is completely normal. It's completely normal to fight. It's okay to fight. It's okay. Why? Because this is how we build in life. Go to 2 Timothy 4, if you would. 2 Timothy 4. 2 Timothy 4. Notice what the Apostle Paul says. 2 Timothy 4, in verse 6, says, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. Notice what it says. It says, I have fought, notice, a good fight. Notice, I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. The Apostle Paul says, look, I fought a good fight, but he doesn't stop there. He says, look, I finished my course. And look, and there's a course that all of us are on. There's a course that you're on in your life. And you ought to just choose, endeavor to finish that course, whatever course God has you on. But how is it done? It's done through you fighting. It's done through you battling. And look, is it a fight? Of course it's going to be a fight. But look, the Apostle Paul says, look, I fought a good fight. Look, but I've finished my course. I have kept the faith. You see, how do you finish rebuilding a broken life, rebuilding some past sin, rebuilding some past relationship? It's done through fighting a good fight. It's done through you battling. And look, when you fight, you got to just expect to take a hit. Look, when you fight to build a relationship, look, they may not want to rebuild that relationship. And it may feel like you just got punched. But look, just choose to take a hit. Like you can't be involved in a fight without getting hit. When you choose to build a life where you used to live for the world, now you're going to live for the Lord, realize, look, there's going to be some opposition to that. People will come at you. They're not going to like it. They're going to be against you. And it's okay every once in a while in a fight to take a hit. Right. Just take a hit and realize, look, I'm just going to finish my course. I'm going to keep the faith. And what do you see Nehemiah do? Nehemiah just, I'm going to rebuild that which is broken down. I'm going to rebuild a broken past. But what does it do? It causes him to fight with people. The people, they say, you know what, let's do this. Let's get in this. And what are they doing? Just fighting. Weapon in hand. Tool in hand. Just building and fighting. And look, just, this is the Christian life. A life of building and a life of fighting. Should it scare you? No, look, it should encourage you. And just choose to fight. Go back to Nehemiah 2, if you would. Nehemiah 2. See, not only is the Christian life a fight, but look, there will always be opposition in the Christian life. Look, there will always be opposition. You got to just get used to just people being against you, against Christians, against this church, against you personally. Just be comfortable. Get used to people being against you. Nehemiah 2, like verse number 10, notice what it says. It says, when Sanballat the Horonite, notice, and Tobiah the servant, the Ammonite, heard of it, notice, it grieved them exceedingly. And look, this is what people do. If you decide, I'm going to rebuild my life for the Lord, there's going to be people in your life who are just going to mock it. Yeah. Or just going to criticize it. Why? Because look, people don't want you to succeed. You know, people are just in life for themselves. And they hope to keep you down to make themselves feel better for their mistakes and their failures. And just realize, like, when you decide to rebuild, whether it's some sin, like, people will mock that as well. And say, you can't get it right. You can't defeat that sin. Look, just realize, look, that there was always the opposition in life. It says, notice here, it says, it grieved them exceedingly. Notice, they just heard that they wanted to build a wall. They just heard this is what they want to do, and they're just grieved. They don't like it. It says, it grieved them exceedingly. There was come a man to seek the welfare of the children of Israel. Nehemiah, go to Nehemiah 4 if you would. Nehemiah 4, look at verse number 1. Nehemiah 4, 1, it says, but it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we builded the wall, notice, he was wroth and took great indignation, notice, and mocked the Jews. And he spake for his brethren in the army of Samaria and said, what do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end of the day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned? Look, when you decide to build, just get used to people mocking you, being against you, not wanting you to succeed. But look, that's okay. It's okay. Like the Christian life is a life where people are constantly against you. Go to Psalm 119, if you would, Psalm 119. And look, in the Christian life, like, there will always be opposition. Those who are against you, those who don't want you to win. But look, that is how you build. You fight through the opposition. And look, don't get to the place as a Christian where you say, well, I just can't do it unless everything's good, everything's peaceful. This is what people do. People say, well, I'll live for the Lord once everyone around me agrees with me. I'll live for the Lord once people stop mocking me, once everyone agrees with me, once everyone loves me. But look, that's never going to happen. Look, there will always be opposition. Psalm 119, look at verse number 98. Psalm 119, 98. Notice what the psalmist says. It says, thou through thy commandments hast made me wiser than mine enemies. Notice what he says. It says, for they are ever with me. It says, look, they're always around me. My enemies, they're always with me. They're ever with me. Look, you'll always have opposition, whether it's in your personal life too. There's always going to be people who are against you. And instead of encouraging you, discouraging you, look, you got to just let that encourage you. Say, you know what, maybe I'm doing something right. Maybe I'm actually building something for the Lord. And the psalmist, he's not down on it. He says, look, thou through thy commandments, you've made me wiser. I'm wiser than them. Why? Because my enemies, they're always around me. They are ever with me. Look, just get used to having people who are against you, who don't want you to win. This is how you rebuild in the Christian life. Go to 1 Corinthians 16, if you go to 1 Corinthians 16. 1 Corinthians 16. Look, when people like it when other people are down. Look, once they heard that Nehemiah just wanted to rebuild the wall, look, that's all it took. And they were just grieved exceedingly. Look, once people hear that you want to do right, live right, make your relationships right, once they hear that, they're just going to try to mock it. They're going to try to oppose it. But that's okay. 1 Corinthians 16, look at verse number 9. The Bible says, for a great door and effectual is open unto me. Notice what it says. It says, and there are many adversaries. See, look, and there will always be opposition in the Christian life. But look, that's okay. It's okay. Just get used to it. See, how do you rebuild? You rebuild with weapon in hand. Get used to the fact that there is a fight. And look, this is why we have the Word of God to help equip us, to help us fight that good fight. And so how is it done? Simply you reading your Word of God, you reading the Bible, you staying faithful to the preaching of the Word of God to help equip you to fight the opposition. Because look, they're always going to be there. Is it a bad thing? I think it's perfectly fine. This is the Christian life, a life of building and fighting. So don't allow the opposition, the fights, to discourage you. No, allow it to encourage you. Go back to Nehemiah 4, if you would. Nehemiah 4. You see, how do you rebuild as a Christian? You rebuild with honesty at heart. Meaning what? Meaning you assess the situation. Meaning you take personal responsibility. How do you rebuild? You rebuild with others in mind. You build with others. You build for others. You build for the Lord. How do you rebuild? With weapon in hand. And lastly, how do you rebuild? You rebuild with God by your side. With God by your side. Nehemiah 4, look at verse number 18. Nehemiah 4, 18, it says, notice, for the builders, everyone had his sword girded by his side and so builded. And he that sounded the trumpet was by me. And I said unto the nobles and to the rulers and to the rest of the people, notice, the work is great and large. And we are separated upon the wall. Notice, one far from the other. Here are the people building and working. And Nehemiah tells the people, look, this work that's being done, look, this work is great and large. But it says here, it says, and we are separated upon the wall, one far from another. Verse 20, in what place, therefore, ye hear the sound of the trumpet, resort ye thither unto us, notice, our God shall fight for us. And we have Nehemiah telling the people, look, this work was so great, this work was so wall, was so big and long. They're all building, they're all working, but Nehemiah says, look, this work is so great, but we're separated. We're kind of far apart. We're separated one far from the other. And look, in the Christian life, even though, yes, you build with others, in the Christian life, sometimes you will feel like you're all alone. And Nehemiah says, look, this work is so great. Yeah, we're doing this together, but he says, look, but we're far from one from the other. And look, in the Christian life, when you decide to rebuild, or just build anything in the Christian life, look, sometimes you will feel like you're all alone. Even though, yes, your brethren are there, even though, yes, your church is there, look, sometimes you'll feel like you're far one from the other, like you're all alone. But look, this is okay. It's okay in the Christian life to feel like you're all alone. Go to Matthew 14, if you would, Matthew 14. Matthew 14. You see, how do you rebuild? You rebuild with God by your side. You say, why? Because, look, sometimes you'll feel like it's just you. It's true because, look, you don't know what's going on in my life. I don't know what's going on in your life. And sometimes you may feel like, well, nobody knows what's going on in my life. And it's easy to feel isolated in the Christian life. Even though, yeah, your church is there, even though you have people around you, look, it's easy to feel like I'm all alone in the Christian life. But, look, that's okay. Look, it's okay in life to feel like you're separated far one from the other. It's okay to rebuild a life when you feel like you're all alone. Matthew 14, look at verse number 23. Matthew 14, 23, it says, and when he had sent the multitudes away, this, of course, is the Lord Jesus Christ, it says he went up into a mountain apart, notice, to pray. It says, and when the evening was come, notice what it says. It says he was there, notice, alone. One thing you'll notice about the Gospels is that Jesus Christ, he is constantly sending people away to do what? To be alone with the Lord. As he's living his life, sending people away to do what? Just to be alone, just to pray to the Lord. You see, how do you rebuild in the Christian life? Look, sometimes you're going to feel like you're all alone, and that's okay. It's okay to feel alone. You see why? Because look, when you feel like you're alone, look, those are the times that you go to God in prayer. Isn't it true? Like, when things are going great, when everyone loves you, when everyone's for you, when everything's happy, it seems like prayer life becomes less important. But when things are difficult, when things are hard, when you feel like you're all alone, like nobody understands, that's when you pray to the Lord. And this is a good thing. It's good sometimes to feel like you're all alone. Even though, yes, your brethren are there. Even though, yes, the church is there. Even though people around you are there. It's okay in life to rebuild being far one from another. Feeling like you're all alone. And here we have Jesus sending people away for the sole purpose of doing what? Of being alone. So he can do what? So he can get strength from the Father. Just praying to the Lord. Praying to God. Being there all by himself. Go to 1 Peter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter 5, because look, sometimes look in your situation in life, wherever you find yourself, you're gonna feel like nobody gets it. You're gonna feel like nobody understands what I'm going through. But look, that's okay. And realize, look, God understands what you're going through. And even though, yeah, you feel like you're alone, you're never really alone. 1 Peter 5, look at verse number 7. The Bible says, notice, casting all your care upon him, notice, for he careth for you. The word care means concerns, your troubles. It also says you got to cast all your troubles, all your concerns. It says, why? For he careth for you. So look, realize, look, it's okay in life. It's okay to feel like you're all by yourself. This is a good thing. Why? Because in those times, you got to just go to the Lord in prayer. Why? Because ultimately, God is the one who will always be there for us, to strengthen us, to encourage us. Go back to Nehemiah 4, if you would, Nehemiah chapter 4. Nehemiah 4, look at verse number 20 again. It says, notice, in what place, therefore, you hear the sound of the trumpet. What is that? That's the alarm of war. The enemy's coming. Notice, resort ye thither unto us. And then he says this. He says, for our God, notice, shall fight for us. See, ultimately, at the end of the day, it's God who's going to fight for us. Even though, yeah, we build with other people, sometimes it feels like we're far one from the other. And Nehemiah says, look, you just keep fighting. You keep battling. And when things come, the opposition comes, even though you're alone, you feel alone, realize that our God, he will fight for us. And you say, how do you rebuild? You rebuild with God by your side. How is it done? It's done through you walking with the Lord, being close to the Lord, praying to God. Look, this is the only way you'll be able to build anything in life. So when it comes to the broken down areas in your life, whether it's your testimony because of some sin, whether it's a relationship, whether it's your walk with the Lord, just building a new life for the Lord, realize, look, how is it done? It's done through you allowing God to be with you, to strengthen you, to help you. Nehemiah 6, if you would. Nehemiah chapter 6. Nehemiah 6. And look, sometimes in life, we need to rebuild in the Christian life. We need to rebuild a broken past. We need to rebuild what something used to be strong, what something used to be fortified. Feels like it's now come down. Sometimes you just got to rebuild. Nehemiah 6, look, verse number 15, the Bible says, so the wall was finished in the 25th day of the month Elul, in 52 days. It says in verse 16, and it came to pass that when all our enemies heard thereof, and all the heathen that were about us saw these things, notice, they were much cast down in their own eyes. Notice what it says. It says, for they perceived that this work was wrought of our God. See, at the end of the day, when they finished rebuilding that wall, you know, the world, the enemies, they saw this great work and they didn't say, oh man, look what Nehemiah did. Look what the people did. No, they realized, look, this work, what just happened, what's been rebuilt, this work has been wrought of our God. Amen. And when it comes to the broken down areas in your life, people are going to look at it and say, it can never be done. But look, but when you actually strengthen your marriage, when you actually strengthen your parenting, when you actually get that sin right in your life, when you actually fix that relationship, when you actually build a new life for the Lord, when you succeed, they're not going to say, man, look what you did. They say, no, look what God did. Look what the Lord can do. And look, and if the Lord can do it for that person, hey, maybe he can do it for me. And realize, look, be the person who says, you know, I'm just going to rebuild. I'm going to rebuild my life. I'm going to rebuild the areas in my life that have come down. See, how's it done? It's done with honesty at heart. You got to assess your situation. You got to take personal responsibility. How's it done? It's done with others in mind. You build with others. You build for others. How's it done? It's done with weapon in hand. Why? Because the Christian life is a fight. There will always be opposition. How's it done? It's done with God by your side. So choose. Choose to rebuild that which has been broken down. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for this morning. God, I thank you for this church, Lord, and for your word. I just pray that you be with this church, be with the families that are here, Lord, be with each one of our lives. And I just thank you for always being there for us. And I just pray you help us all to strengthen those areas in our life that need to be rebuilt, God. And I just pray that you be with Pastor Shelley, everyone here, Lord. Be with our lives, God. Just help us to be pleasing in your sight, Lord. And I just thank you for all the blessings you've given us, God. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.